At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
So our case this week begins in 2006 in Glendale, Arizona. It's actually a Christmas day, and families everywhere are spending time together on their days off. But specifically, father and husband Don Waller is looking forward to Christmas dinner that night with all of his children. But as dinner starts, and the Waller's adult son, 18-year-old Ryan, fails to show up for the family dinner, the whole family is confused. They try calling, but they get no answer. Their confusion turns into worry when the night comes to a close and they still haven't seen or heard from Ryan. Don decides to head over to his son's apartment in the late hours of Christmas night, but he also calls the police to have them come along and be the ones to conduct the welfare check on his son at his apartment in Phoenix. With Don waiting outside, the police arrive at the apartment. They knock, but no one answers. They announce themselves and knock again. This is when they hear the deadbolt unlock from the other side of the door. Standing there at the door, it's the missing Ryan Waller himself. He's alive, but he has an intense bruise over one eye that is completely swollen shut. So swollen, you can't even see his eyeball. He also has some other minor scratches and bruises on his face. Excuse me. The police ask him, "Hi, are you Ryan Waller?" He doesn't reply, he just looks at them. They tell him they're here to conduct a welfare check because his father called them after he missed the family's Christmas dinner that night. Once again, Ryan doesn't respond. He just kind of stares at the police. They look inside the house from the front porch, peering around him, and they notice a woman lying on the couch. They ask Ryan, "Okay, hey, what happened to your eye? Why is it black? Why is it swollen shut?" Once again, he says nothing. Well, there's a woman lying on the couch behind him. A little on edge, the police ask him, "Hey, is that your girlfriend Heather on the couch?" They tell him, "Your dad told us she was supposed to come along too, that you've been with her, so we're checking to make sure things okay." Ryan responds with, I don't know. He says he doesn't know who that is on the couch. They ask him, "Okay, well, is that woman there back there sleeping?" And Ryan becomes defensive. He says he doesn't know. He becomes very annoyed with them, short, rolling his eyes. Police tell him, "Well, we need to go inside. We need to check on her too. We're here for your girlfriend, Heather, too." Ryan becomes agitated. He says, "No, you can't come in." They say, "Okay, Ryan, calm down. We're the police, and we get to come in because we need to perform this welfare check." But Ryan really isn't using complete sentences, more short answers. He just seems very annoyed with the cops. Eventually, the police tell him he's going to have to move over so they can check on her, and he steps aside. Upon entry into Ryan's apartment, Phoenix police come upon a disturbing scene. 21-year-old Heather Kwan, Ryan Waller's girlfriend, is on the couch, but it's pretty clear to police that she is not asleep or alive or well. Heather is dead on the living room couch. Police note she had been shot in the head. Don Waller, Ryan's father, is waiting outside for any news. He's relieved when the front door opens and the police walk out with what appears to be his son. The bruises on the side of Ryan's face makes him do a double take. But after a second look, he confirms that it's his son Ryan walking out with police. The relief Don feels is quickly replaced with confusion when he notices the police are escorting Ryan out of the apartment in handcuffs. Ryan is taken to a police car and put into the back seat, basically in holding. Phoenix police dispatch paramedics for Heather to assess the situation. When they arrive shortly after around 1:30 a.m., they rush in to tend to her, but they too confirm Heather's status. There's nothing they can do. The responders walk back out to their vehicle and drive away. After the detective reads Ryan's his rights, he asks, what's the highest grade you made it to in school? He's trying to get some basic background details. Detectives will often build rapport before getting into heavy questions. Ryan says, I don't know. Detective asks again, well, did you graduate? What's the highest grade? 8th grade? Did you graduate? Yeah. Detective then asks, do you have a GED? I don't know. You don't know? I don't know. I just want to go home. You're not going to go home right now. He basically just keeps repeating that he wants to go home. He doesn't want to be there. Detective asks, do you have a girlfriend? Ryan just kind of makes some weird kind of noise. He then asks if Ryan knows Heather, the woman on the couch. Ryan says, okay, what's Heather's last name? What's her last name? I don't know her last name. You don't know Heather's last name? It's Kimmon, which is not Heather's last name. Okay, can you spell Kimmon? No. So now the detective is wondering, why is he lying about small details like this? He clearly knows Heather, but won't give her real last name. Then the detective then says, okay, how old is Heather? 16 or 17? But Heather is actually 21. The detective asks more questions about Heather, and most of Ryan's answers are, I don't know, or sentences that don't make sense. Eventually, the detective asks, what happened to your face? Do you remember who hit you? I don't know. I think it was Heather. Why would you? Or I should say, why would Heather hit you? I don't know. It was an accident. I forgot why. What was an accident? Heather's last name? No. What was an accident was Heather hitting me. He completely jumps back to the earlier subject, even though he moved on to talking about the injury. Well, at this point, I think the detective still believes this might just be a suspect trying to play games. Sometimes people in interrogation will act like this, being defensive, lying, or acting too smart for the detective. Ryan is agitated, raising his voice, rolling his eyes, saying, I don't know, over and over. So the detective's also getting on edge. Despite the confusion and randomness in Ryan's answers, the detective keeps pushing about the injury. Ryan says Heather hit him with her hand, but when he asks why, he says she was helping Christina with her head during her hair. The detective asks, Ryan, who's Christina? She's on the couch. What does Christina look like? I don't know. I really don't know. Ryan says, sounding very annoyed. The detective tries more questions about this. Christina? But Ryan just gives more, I don't know. Now frustrated, the detective starts shaking his head. You can tell he's irritated and confused. Ryan's not answering half the time he's ignored. He's ignoring him. So the detective switches tactics and starts asking about other people Ryan had mentioned earlier at the scene. Ryan now claims not to know any of them. Finally, the detective jumps straight to the point. What happened last night? I don't know. You don't know? I really don't. I just want to go to sleep. Detective tries again, asking about Christina on the couch. No, Heather was on the couch. Detective confronts him. Ryan, you just said Christina was on the couch. Ryan raises his voice, slams it back into his chair, and says, I don't know. I just want to go to sleep, man. I just want to go to sleep. Detective says, okay, let's start over. What happened last night? I don't know. Why is your nose all beat up? I don't know. Who is Heather? Eric's girlfriend. Okay, Heather's Eric's girlfriend? No, she's my girlfriend. I don't know. I just want to go to sleep. Once again, the detective asks, so Heather hit you in the eye, right? Like you said earlier. Ryan says, no, Alicia did. He's just tossing out random names now. Detective asks, okay, then why did Alicia hit you? She probably hit it on something. Confused, the detective says, hit what on something? I don't know. At this point, you can tell the interrogation is going in circles. It's not cohesive, it's not productive. And Ryan doesn't seem to be comprehending how much his story is changing. He can't even keep track. Heather, Alicia, Christina, it's all a jumble. The detective finally says, in a firm voice, you know that girl in your house is dead? That girl that was behind you, she's dead. Ryan says, Heather, you tell me. The girl on the couch is dead? I don't know if she's on the couch. Then Ryan suddenly says something that completely throws the detective off. Well, these people came over. Richie's dad was shooting arrow, bow, and darts. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that, me and her with those, that's it. And Heather wasn't there, and Eric wasn't there. It was just me and Heather. It's like he's in a dream. Ryan has now been in the interrogation room for over 30 minutes, and this is the first time he's mentioned intruders coming over. He also name drops Richie and his dad, two more new names. Thinking Ryan is finally creating some kind of story to explain Heather's death, the detective asks again, okay, so what exactly happened? Ryan says Richie and his dad tried to break in through the back. Richie used to live there as a roommate, and they were trying to get their stuff. They hit him because they were trying to get in. The detective asks, and they did this with a bow and arrow? They each had two revolvers, and they didn't let off any shells. The detective, extremely annoyed, says, you just said they had bows and arrows. Now you're saying revolvers? No, that's what I meant. They had revolvers. This is where the most important part of the whole footage happens. Detective asks, okay, what happened next? They shot us both. They shot both of you with revolvers? Yeah, they shot me in my eye. They had revolvers? Yes. And then what happened? They shot us with those. They shot both of you? Yeah. Where'd they shoot you at? I got shot in the eye. You got shot in the eye? I think so. With a revolver? I think. I don't know, man. I don't know. Detective says, you don't know a lot, Ryan. Did you shoot Heather? No, I don't. Didn't shoot Heather. Tell me the truth, Ryan. Richie and his dad came over, and I don't know, they came over. Ryan says they put him in a sleeping hold, and he lived through it. At this point, the detective almost starts to believe him, not because the story is clear, but because it's so bizarre that it doesn't seem like something you'd make up this way. Detective asks, okay, Ryan, what's a sleeping hold? I don't know, I really don't know. The detective then confronts him, summarizing his contradictions. Okay, Ryan, according to you, Heather hit you. No, Alicia hit you. No, Heather and Christina are on the couch. Never mind. Alicia, Christina, and Eric aren't there. Richie and his dad broke in through the back and shot you with bows. Never mind, it was revolvers. And then they shot you in the eye. Was the gun a BB gun? No, it was a revolver. Ryan, if they shot you in the eye with a revolver, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. How do you know? Because you'd be dead. Well, I thought that too, man. At this point, Ryan keeps saying he wants to go to sleep. Detective tells him that's not going to happen. Your girlfriend was just found dead on your couch.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
You're lying. You can't even tell a straight story. He asks if Richie and his dad shot Heather after breaking in. Ryan says, yes. Detective tries to piece it together for him. Maybe Richie and his dad knocked you open the door, and they pushed their way in, they shot you. And then they shot Heather in the face. Yeah. Ryan then says that during this time he was trying to get up off the ground, but saw Heather sleeping, so he just laid back down. The detective tells him none of this makes sense and confronts him again. Right now you're saying you've been shot in the eye with a revolver. Yes. The detective doesn't believe him. Tell me the truth. What happened to Heather last night? What did you do to Heather last night? Her dad came and shot up the whole house. At this point, you can see the detective's frustration boil over. He literally throws his arms up in the air, saying, her dad came and shot up the house. Yeah. So Richie is Heather's dad. In reality, Richie is not Heather's dad. But according to Ryan's story right now, he is. Ryan says that after he was shot in the eye, he tried to go back to sleep. Detective asks, why didn't you call 911? I just wanted to go to sleep, man. Detective then asks, why did you shoot Heather, Ryan? I didn't. She was shot once by her brother, I swear. So now, in Ryan's version, it's her brother. At this point, we've gone from Heather hit him, Alicia hit him, Christina was on the couch, Richie and his dad came in with bows, never mind revolvers, her dad shot up the house, now her brother shot her. The detective tries to ground the conversation. And you? You were shot in the eye too? Yes. Here's the important thing to remember. Half of Ryan's face is black. His eye is completely swollen shut. The detective says, so when you say you got shot, do you mean actually shot with a gun or with a bow and arrow? No, I meant a revolver. At this point, I think the detective is starting to suspect that this might be blunt force trauma. Maybe he got hit in the face with the butt of a gun rather than an actual bullet. That might explain why Ryan is walking, talking, and sitting here. But then something shifts, with Ryan being so agitated, talking in circles, not making sense. The detective's frustration slowly turns into concern. You can almost see it on his face. He's thinking, something's wrong here. And he asks, hey, can I take a closer look at your face? He walks over and leans in. The second he touches Ryan's head, Ryan winces and says, oh, my head hurts. The detective abruptly stands up and walks out of the room. When he comes back in, it's like a different person entirely. Same detective, but now his tone is calm and compassionate. He says, the fire department is coming back, and we're going to take you over to the hospital. Ryan says, you're taking me to the hospital? Why? I don't want to go to the hospital. I just want to go to bed. Cop says, we just need to make sure you're okay. Then he uncuffs him. They sit together and wait. Ryan's still protesting that he doesn't want to go to the hospital. When the paramedics arrive, the detective mutters to them, you're not going to believe this one. He explains, I look closer at his face. He keeps telling me he was shot or hit by a revolver, and I think these wounds right there, near the nose, are a gunshot entrance. It passed through his nose and went into his eye. The paramedics rush over to him, and here's the devastating truth. Ryan was telling the truth. He had been shot in the face, the bullet lodging in his head. He had been holding on to life in that apartment until police showed up, only to be handcuffed, interrogated, and left untreated for hours. Even after he told them he had been shot, they sat with him for another 30 minutes before calling for medical help. Ryan Waller was shot in the face, the bullet lodging in his head, and then he was forced to wait, first in his home, then in a police car, then in an interrogation room while holding on to life. He had been in police custody for roughly 6 hours with a bullet in his brain. 6 hours during which he was experiencing worsening brain damage. 6 hours he could have been in surgery. At 6:30 a.m., Ryan was finally taken to the hospital. The moment is heartbreaking in the footage. When they tell him his ambulance is there, he stands up, grabs a blank piece of paper from the table like it's important, and walks out with it. That's how confused he is. At the hospital, doctors determine his injuries are life-threatening. He's immediately taken into surgery. The damage is catastrophic. A shattered eye socket, swelling and bleeding in the brain, bone and bullet fragments lodged in his brain, one eye permanently removed. Some sources even speculate that both eyes were removed to give surgeons access to repair the damage to his brain, leaving him permanently blind. If you remember, the shooting didn't happen on Christmas Day. It happened 2 days earlier, on December 23rd. That means Ryan had been shot and left in his apartment for 2 full days before anyone came to check on him. During those 2 days, Heather's body was decomposing on the couch while Ryan wandered the apartment, disoriented, with a bullet in his brain. Police go back to Ryan's apartment after he's taken to the hospital. They follow up on the names he mentioned in his confused state, Richie and his dad, and discover his story was true. On December 23rd, 2006, Ryan and Heather were spending a night in together, eating pizza while there was a knock at the door. Richie Carver, a former roommate, had a history of conflict with Ryan, possibly even a past standoff involving guns. That night, Richie and his father Larry, not me, came for revenge. Ryan opened the door, saw who it was, and tried to slam it shut. Richie forced his arm in and shot Ryan in the face twice. The first bullet is the one that lodged in his skull. The second grazed his head, taking a piece of his skull with it. Ryan fell to the floor. Richie and Larry pushed their way in, walked over to Heather on the couch, and shot her, just to eliminate a witness. They stole a few weapons and a computer, then left, assuming both Ryan and Heather were dead. Richie Carver was sentenced to natural life in prison in 2008. Larry was initially released because the only physical evidence tied to Richie and Larry's involvement came only from his wife's statement that he told her what happened. Without more, they had to let him go. But Heather's family fought for a change in the law, now known as Heather's Law, which removed the marital privilege that had kept Larry's wife from testifying. Larry was reindicted in 2011, convicted of first-degree murder, and also sentenced to life in prison. After surgery, Ryan was left permanently blind. The bullet and swelling had caused massive brain damage. He survived, but the damage meant he could never live a normal life again. He suffered frequent seizures and had significant cognitive difficulties. And here's the part that makes this even harder to take in. He had been sitting in the interrogation room the entire time with those injuries. Confused and pain, unable to form consistent sentences because a bullet was lodged in his head. If you actually think back to all the footage that's been released, it all makes sense now. The random switching of names, the contradictions, the inability to remember what was just said, the desperate need to go to sleep. His brain wasn't functioning normally. He was literally living moment to moment with no continuity of memory, because part of his brain responsible for that had been damaged. The Waller family later revealed that they filed a $15 million lawsuit against the city of Phoenix. The case went on for nearly 3.5 years. 3 weeks before the trial, the city filed a motion for dismissal. They claimed that they had found a brain expert who would testify that the six-hour delay in treatment probably didn't change Ryan's outcome, that the damage would have been the same even if he'd been treated right away. The Wallers had their own expert, a brain surgeon, ready to testify the exact opposite, that when the brain is bleeding, every minute counts, and that the delay caused catastrophic additional damage. But the judge dismissed the case. According to the Wallers, there were many other issues besides the delay, pain, suffering, negligence, but it was all swept under the rug. Ryan's life after the shooting remained private. He lived with his parents, dealing with his disabilities. Then in 2016, at just 28 years old, he died from a seizure caused by the brain injuries from the shooting. Legally speaking, that means Richie and Larry didn't just attempt to kill him, they succeeded. It just took 9 years for the injuries to end his life. Heather Kwan, the other victim, was remembered by friends and family as vibrant, strong-willed, and generous. She had been a big sister in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, a student at ASU, studying to become a defense attorney, and someone who offered friendship to anyone who needed it. When you watch that interrogation footage now, knowing what was really happening, it's gut-wrenching. The police weren't talking to a suspect. They were talking to a man dying from a bullet wound to the brain, and no one realized it until an hour in. It's hard not to feel disgusted watching the interrogation, knowing what we know now. This sweet victim with a bullet in his brain, barely functioning, walks into that room moaning, agitated, and unable to form consistent answers. At first, some of his behavior might even seem almost comical in its randomness, but then you realize he's dying right in front of them. Where was the adult in the room to stop and say, "This doesn't make sense. Something's wrong here. This man needs medical attention now." Half of his face was black with bruising. There was a hole in his nose where the bullet had entered, passed through the side of his nose, and lodged in his eye. And still, there was no medical treatment for 6 hours. The human body is complex, and you want to believe that if someone was shot in the head, they'd be unable to walk or talk, but brain injuries can be deceptive. In Ryan's case, the bullet and swelling caused such severe trauma that he was essentially functioning second by second, unable to remember what had been asked before, unable to form coherent stories, desperately trying to manage the pain. The only reason he was even able to say, "I was shot," was because the detective pushed him over and over and over, and fragments of the memory surfaced. Ryan Waller was a hero. After being shot twice in the head, he still managed to identify the people responsible, leading police to the killers of both himself and Heather. No one in law enforcement has ever been held accountable for the 6 hours of untreated brain injury he endured while in their custody. The lawsuit was dismissed, the city avoided responsibility, and the story was nearly buried, except for the fact that people keep telling it. The least we can do now is keep telling it, so that Ryan receives the public recognition he deserves as a victim. So that Heather is remembered not just for how she died, but for the life she lived. And that is our episode for today. Give me your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. And as always, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit the subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or just scan the QR code you see on the screen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.